everyone, to the Township's Daily News Bits. Bringing you news and events that matter to townshippers. I'm Holly Bailey here on 99.1 with the privilege of bringing our community's voice to you through the Local Journalism Initiative funded by the Government of Canada. This episode is dedicated to a special new book and project that is hot off the press. You might have already got a copy in your hands of That Does Not Belong to Me, written by our very own Jamie Moore, an entrepreneur, yoga teacher, co-owner of The Well and The Marina, and now a published author. We sat down to have a chat to see what's between the pages and the covers of this book and how it might be a useful tool for you. Here we go with Jamie Moore, and That Does Not Belong to Me. Good day, Miss Jamie Moore. How are you?
I'm so good. I'm so happy to be here with you.
So am I. This is such a, I want to say, momentous time. Like, you've got so much blossoming in your life and a brand new book, That Does Not Belong to Me.
Yes.
Can I ask you about that? Yes. Like, what was the journey or the process like for you writing a book, or how did it serve you?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I would say that I've been doing the book for about 3 years, and I can't remember, you know, when it's something that's like ends up being big in your life, but you don't remember exactly how it started.
Yeah,
there's a lot our brain retains, and there's a lot that obviously either gets filtered out or there's just not enough space to carry it all. So I don't remember the exact beginning, but I knew I wanted to start putting down a story, and I wasn't even sure the way that was going to play out. So I started writing it on my own, with the concept of that statement, that does not belong to me, because through something called human design, which I can share more about, I started to learn that a lot of the energy we take in isn't ours. It isn't ours. To begin with, it was never ours in the first place, but we might have picked up a lot along the way or day to day. Mm-hmm. So it was just a really good kind of mantra or statement for me to tell myself regularly, that does not belong to me. That person's anger, that person's frustration, that person's worry mm-hmm. is not mine. So it doesn't mean I can't be there for them, be compassionate to them, but I don't need to carry that for them. So that was how that concept started. And then I met with an editor. There's more, ooh, like there's different phases of the book writing process. And it was the editor who guided me in deciding that each chapter would be guided based on an energy center. And so for those who don't know about human design, this is sort of like the chakras. So right. We have 9 different energy centers in human design. And it's simply the head, the mind, the throat, this sort of thing. And to simplify too, and that's what I love about human design, is it's not complicated, is that, let's say, for example, in the head center, we might take in other people's thoughts or
yes.
beliefs.
Right.
We might be inspired by them. So it's not all bad. Right? Okay. We just need to be aware, and then we need to filter.
I love it. And I use this line actually for myself. I'm like, oh, that does not belong to me. You know, I can appreciate it. I can be empathetic, but I don't have to have it embodied like in me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because it's a weight.
It is.
It's
yeah.
a weight sometimes. And yeah. Nice. Mm-hmm. Some themes that came up, like I've been reading your book. I have to admit, I'm not quite finished, but these things jumped out, like the power of awareness, the power of the pivot.
Mm.
And what I really loved too was patience. Mm. And you expressed it as an understated form of self-respect.
Mm-hmm.
Can you unpack that?
I love hearing this. I love hearing it from other people, because I'm like, right, that was my idea. But sometimes I need these reminders too,
right.
You know, like, and when I was writing it, it's coming from a place of like, I've been working on this. Mm. I've been doing this work. I've been learning so much, gathering tools. And then yeah. I get to put it on paper to share it with others. And it's been confronting in certain ways, because do I always walk the talk? No. So that's where it's been really cool to hear,
okay.
to hear something like this, you know, repeated back. So that patience piece, I feel like, is come up again for me. So it's just funny that, you know, we all need these reminders again. And I think it's come in the form a lot in people asking something of me, or
okay.
asking me to do something, to partake in something, whether it's a nice opportunity or a favor. And just knowing you don't need to respond right away is really liberating. You don't need to tell them in that very moment. We assume that people just need that response. Like, we live in a fast-paced world, and I've just learned that that's not true.
And it's managing expectations too, because like my phone will buzz or this or that, and I feel like I need to have an instantaneous response, or my mom will then call, why aren't you answering your phone? Are you okay? What's going on? And I'm like, actually, I'm taking a walk and I'm not attached to my phone. But it's a new reality that we've kind of accepted as reality, but
yeah,
it's a tool, right? My phone's a tool.
Absolutely. And that's another huge work in progress for me, because I am someone who people will say, you're so good at getting back to me so quickly, you know, that response. And what happens often, this has to do with our root center in human design, is that we might feel this pressure from outside of ourselves, which is that request, that text, that call. Okay. And it feels almost better once we relieve ourselves of that pressure. And that usually comes in responding to it. Let's just get it out of the way. I'll let them know that, you know, I'll get back to them right this second. I'll respond to that email and then I'm done. I don't have to think about it. And that I understand, like that, there's truth to that. But sometimes it's worth making a note to remember to do it later. Cause that's the other thing. We're all worried we're going to forget things because we have so much in our brain. As to what I was speaking to before. There's strategies, you know, that allow us to then give ourselves that space and coming back to the patience that we can give ourselves so that we actually respond in a way that is true.
Right.
As opposed to in a way that is rushed.
Right. Like I mentioned to you when I saw you, I got this book and then I was resisting and I was like, well, why am I resisting? I want to read it. I have the book. Why am I like, and so then checking in, and like you mentioned, it's probably because it's calling on something or something's ready to shift or change and change isn't comfortable.
Absolutely. And I've been thinking about how you said that because I think there's so much value to acknowledging that and to not forcing ourselves, right? And just even like you come back to that awareness that you mentioned before, and it's to know, okay, there's a blockage here. There's something that feels sticky. I know I'm going to read something or see something that I won't be able to unsee, and then I might have to do something about it. I might have to make that small pivot or bigger shift in my life. And of course, that's your choice. You don't have to do that, but you're someone who's aware and you might want to do that. And you might not be ready, and that's okay. We all have friends, right, who are going through something and you're like, oh, they just need to go see a therapist, or oh, they just need to take this course and that'll help them, or see this healer or whatever it may be. That's a bit woo, and that'll help them. And we can't force that. They have to be ready. We know that, right? But it's the same for ourselves.
Yeah, it doesn't stick if you're not ready for that. Like, it's, you know, you plant a seed, but you don't go and pull up on the plant and see how the roots are doing. You wait, you know, and everything has its season, which you also bring up in the book, and how life is cyclical, which is so true. And it's repeated in nature everywhere. And it's like, it's a cycle. So sometimes it's time to hibernate and be with something and let it germinate. And sometimes it's time to get the hoe out and start digging, you know, and it's important to respect that.
And especially as women, we are literally cyclical beings, right? And we often think like, oh, we need to keep up with the pace of that person, or just, you know, I always talk of the morning routine that we think we're supposed to have, and that'll give us peace throughout the day. We wake up every day and do that meditation or have the lemon water or journal. And those are all great things. And I've attempted them many, many times and come back to them still. And just that liberation of feeling like if it doesn't stick, I'm not bad. I'm not wrong, because I'm cyclical.
Actually human.
Exactly. So not being hard on ourselves for those times where we're like, why can't I stay doing this? Why can't I make it happen? Yeah. It's actually just a phase, and it will come back again if it needs to or you want it to.
It will. It resurfaces. It's like, it's like, when you don't deal with something, you know you're going to deal with it later. But if you're okay with that and it's not costing you too much, well, then great. I'm putting that on the shelf for just now.
Exactly.
I do that with books as well. You reread it. And I feel this book would be something you could revisit and you'll get new nuggets. Like you're open, your space is, you've got a bigger space to receive. Or like I wrote down that it was illuminating and accessible and insightful and timely.
I love that. Yeah, I hope so. And I actually had someone come to my yoga class, a woman probably in her 70s, and she's reading it. And she said, chapter 9, I have to read it, put it down, and read it again.
Right.
And I was so glad she said that because it's coming up to my book launch this weekend.
Yes.
And so I'll be at Brome Lake Books on Saturday, February 7th from 3 to 5 doing a book signing.
Okay.
And then Sunday, February 8th, pretty much timed with the start of the Super Bowl, but I'll be there 5 to 7. You choose wisely, friends.
It might not be packed with men.
No, that's okay. We'll have it on in the background, and also you can make it at least for the second half.
Absolutely.
But I was thinking about which part I want to do a small reading, mm-hmm. and my favorite chapter was chapter 9 as well, which is about the heart center.
Okay.
And she said that's the chapter that she needed to revisit. And it's funny because in human design, the heart center is not actually about love, but more so self-worth and willpower. And so the conversation
wow.
that she said was really hitting for her, and I felt like for me it does over and over again, is that idea that we need to build this trust with ourselves. And to do that, we need to commit to these practices. I'm talking about the morning routine and not sticking to it. So I'm kind of saying the opposite, but it doesn't need to be that. It's more the kindness we can give ourselves. And if we say we're going to give ourselves, you know, that walk
yeah.
is to actually go and do it. That mm-hmm. thing that we know will make us feel better.
Right.
And of course we cancel. Of course we're the first thing to be taken off the calendar.
Yep.
And each time we do that, we're breaking that self-trust with ourselves. And we don't see it that way. We know, like, that's kind of a click that I had through the help of human design. And I was like, oh, it was a big aha moment, as we say. And so it's really reminded me how important these moments are, small or big. And of course, things will get shuffled around, so not to beat ourselves up, but the importance of giving ourselves those things we need and not canceling.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And women are a little bit more inclined to be serving everyone else before addressing their own needs. And mm-hmm. that's not being selfish. That's, you know,
mm-hmm.
yeah, doing self-care.
Exactly. It's literally self-care. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not even kind of. It's absolutely necessary.
Yeah.
And full transparency, I took an alignment course with you years ago, and it kind of was the start of a excavation and a discovery process. And we did human design, and trust came up for me, and it was a revelation. I was so sad to find that out, but I was like, okay, well, that's where I need to build that muscle. I didn't realize that I had lost trust in myself.
Yeah, these things can kind of hit like a little,
yeah.
it's like a little wound, you know.
Yeah.
I've had that as well more recently. I mean, this might be going off track a little, but I was living with a cancer diagnosis for the last 3.5 years. And I had a session talking about how when I was little, I was caring for so many others. I have a specific memory where I was there for my mom, caring for her, and how I didn't want to be a burden in people's lives. There was already enough. And I think I'm not alone when I'm telling this story, that especially as maybe young women, we mm-hmm. find this muscle of people pleasing that actually
oh, yes.
gets really strong, really young, and continues to get strengthened as we're reinforced positively for being a good girl who doesn't get in the way, who is not a bother, right? That's positive. And that, when I realized that alongside with my cancer diagnosis now as a 41-year-old woman, that I was a bother to people because I was having to tell them sad news, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, obviously, I had appointments and all these things. And I know anyone would look at me and say, oh my gosh, you can't think that way.
But I get it.
But yeah, it's and so that was, it's not quite the same as what you were saying about the trust,
right.
but it's this realization where you're like, oh, I need to work on that. So that's coming back to that awareness, which is why that's so the key
right.
piece to this puzzle here is being aware of like what is going on. And we don't always need to work on our inner child,
yeah.
who is a little child. But when I thought of little me and thinking, oh my gosh, poor her, she didn't want to be a bother. And then it made me sadder for grown up me for thinking that way too. So it's not a bad thing to have that realization or that sadness for ourselves where it makes us realize like, oh no, I am not a bother. And if I am, that's not mine. It doesn't belong to me actually, right? We've come full circle.
Jamie Moore there, newly published author of That Does Not Belong to Me. We carry on with this conversation as we lead up to the book signing at Brome Lake Books on the 7th from 3 to 5, and a reading at the Lakeview Hotel on the 8th from 5 to 7. Let's keep digging into this with Jamie Moore here on 99.1.
in my own words, like when I look at this and human design, it's like you use the word alignment. It's like in aligning my internal with my external worlds. And so there's that synchronicity and that balance.
Yes. Yeah. Ugh. And it's a lifelong process, right? And like, if you notice, it's my friend Ashley who designed the book cover,
yeah,
but it's got the 9 dots on the front in various colors. And those are the 9 energy centers. And then on the back of the book, they're in a straight line.
Yeah. So I did pick that up. I was like, go girl.
And thank you for noticing that. Yeah. And it's not about getting to that point where all the dots are in a straight line. It is in a certain way, of course, but it's never going to remain that way.
Right,
there's always going to be
exactly.
And we're nonlinear beings. Ideally we live nonlinearly. So yeah, for us to try to match is like a fun challenge of like, okay, I'm aligned with who I am on the inside. Now, how do I put all the pieces of my puzzle of what I do in my life, let's say. And I always think of like, sounds funny, but like what's on your calendar, right? Like,
okay,
is
yeah.
that aligned? Because when we think about our valuable assets, it's our time and our energy. And that's
yes.
me having this conversation with you. This was important to me, which is why I said
yes.
I'm really excited to it, which is why I said yes. And, you know, we're going to have moments where like we're in a situation where we're going, oh, I knew it. My gut was like, I don't really want to do this, but here I am. Okay. You know, I'm doing it anyway. And of course there's going to be lots of things in life that we end up doing that way, but we should try more and more to listen to those. And that's
right.
what can make us have this alignment with the actual physical pieces of our outer world, let's say.
My friend, like, I think it's so important to have friends of all generations and ages, because the sagess, like if I could, you know, I wouldn't want to be a 20-year-old self right now, but if I could import all my wisdom and pop it in that, you know, body and have that energy, wow. But there's something beautiful in every stage of life.
Yeah.
And he said to me, he's like, well, he calls me Bobby. He's like, Bobby, he's like, it's simple. Just do more of what you love and less of what you don't love. And I'm like,
well,
oh,
he wrote the
God.
Book then. That's basically it.
Simple. And so sometimes I just bring it back to that, more of this and less than that, because life does throw curveballs and you have to deal with things that are unpleasant or this and that, but there's usually a way, or if I could say always without an absolute, there's usually a silver lining, or there's an opportunity or a gift to grow or transform. And like we said before, it's not easy and it's not comfortable. It's disruptive,
but it's worth it.
Yeah, it's worth it. There's a really interesting Indian mystic called Sadhguru. Have you heard of
yes.
him? And he has this line, and he says, those who resist change suffer the most. And that clicked for me, because that's what life is. It's change. But I think your book helps people ride the wave, you know, without getting sucked into those deep, you know, swells and get blown over in their little boat.
Yeah, I hope so. And I think part of the reason I wrote it was so people don't feel alone in this process.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I had a coach once say, like, you need to speak as like the leader, as the person that's knowledgeable about something so people can learn from you and want to learn from you. And I understand that. And also I have moments where I'm like, I feel like a hypocrite. Like, we all have that,
totally.
Right? We all have those limiting beliefs, and it's something I've been working on, and they resurface, and then I work on them and keep them at bay. I have literally conversations with my inner critic telling her, like, I'm in charge. You don't know the truth. You're
Sit
making
down,
up stories
Joss.
Once again. Exactly. Thank you. And yeah, so I feel like that's been a big part of this book too, is like practicing walking the talk of, you know, being vulnerable, of sharing my truth.
Yeah.
And also letting go of the outcome. So I'm so grateful it's
huge.
Been received well, but I had to also, because when you're going through editing something, boy, oh boy, do you get sick of whatever it is you're editing, and you think it's basically the worst thing, and you're
put the comma wherever the hell you want.
Exactly.
Excuse me for the hell, but you get to that point where like,
exactly.
just do it. I want it done.
Exactly.
But, yeah.
Yeah. So it feels good to, you know, and of course I can look at it and think, oh, okay, there's parts I would do differently. But overall, what I've been feeling is a sense of pride, which is also something that I encourage people when they've put their love and their energy and all of their being into a project, whether it be a piece of art or literally like a project of any sort, is to be so proud of yourself. Like no matter what comes of it, right?
Right.
And I invested a lot financially into this because I had an editor and it was a big chunk, and I've told some people how much, and And they're like, oh my God, have you?
You
and
won't then get your money back. Or
totally. And like, you know, and how many books you need to sell. And I was like, oh no, I would not be doing this if that's how I looked at it. That. It's the same as when you take your yoga teacher training. You don't look at how many yoga classes you're going to have to teach to pay back that $3,000 or whatever it may be. So it was really a labor of love. I learned so much about both writing and the process of bringing the book to life. So I'm really excited to eventually do a second book. Or carry on writing. So, yeah.
Okay. That's brilliant. Wow. One other thing that popped in that I really loved is you mentioned, like, play with it. Play with it. Like, soulful experimentation. Mm. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
I think, okay, life, especially at the moment we're in, is, like, really messed up. Like, it's really heartbreaking. Yeah. There's a lot of suffering. There's, it's just sad. Like, and so it's not to discount from that, but it's also to say that I read this book called Tomorrow, Tomorrow, and Tomorrow. It's a fiction about the video game world, but there was something about it. I loved it. Highly recommend it. And it made me see life as a video game. And it made me just kind of be like, you know, you hear stories of things and you're like, this is wild. This is like, and you know, people are going through hard things and also exciting things and funny things, and it's all almost like a bit of, I don't want to lighten it again, but almost like a joke, like it's because it's so crazy.
It's a big
so
farce
crazy
in a sense.
Exactly. So that's where I think that idea of play, where it's like we, and obviously there's important things in life that we need to take seriously, and I think there's so much that we spend our time caring about that doesn't actually matter. And I know, like, it took me, you know, getting a cancer diagnosis to shift things into perspective. And I was already trying to figure out, like, what's important and what's not. But it went into high gear. And I hope that other people don't have to have that to realize it. And I know anyone who's experienced any sort of health worry or crisis, it shakes you up. Right. And you think, what really matters to me?
Where are my priorities?
So that's what it becomes. And, like, fun is a core value of mine. It doesn't necessarily mean it is for everyone. But the idea of play, too, especially when it comes to, let's say, human design or any strategy, any tool that you learn, play with it. Like, literally try it out as if you're experimenting on life. And, like, the one I talk about the most is listening to your gut by those sounds that we make. Those, like, you're served a plate of food and you're like, Yeah, that's your gut saying, I don't want that. I don't like that. And another, you smell an aroma and you go, you know, you get a text from someone asking if you want to do something and you go, oh, that's your gut. So that's part of, like, play with it. Experiment with it. What if you said no to that thing that made you go, and see what happens. Like, I always think the universe has our back in a lot of ways, and it's going to clear the calendar for you, and it'll bring in things that you actually want and that make you go,
I did play with that. And it's also, like, just being conscious and aware that I'm choosing a mastery consciousness mindset. I'm not going into victim mode. And it's like, okay, well, I'm saying no to this, but what's around the corner? What did I make space for?
Yeah.
And it does.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's coming back to trust, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And it's hard because I, you know, I always want to acknowledge the fact that, you know, not everyone can say no to certain opportunities.
True.
We have to pay our bills. Like, we have, you know, responsibilities in life. Right. If you have children, like, you know, but there's small ways that I think we can start with. There's always little small things that come in where we end up going into a little bit the victim mode because we think, oh, well, my sister-in-law asked me to pick up her kid and now I have to go and do it. And of course you want to help people, but at the demise of what? So that's where it's like, okay, maybe this week you don't.
Right.
Maybe there's someone else who could pick
up
the slack.
This, but I've got an hour.
Yeah. Or you make limits, you know, you set certain other boundaries around it.
Yeah. That's huge. Mm-hmm. Well, I want to just jump on one sentence I saw as well. I let life be wild and imperfect.
Mm.
And that feels like the play.
Yeah.
It feels like the play.
Yeah.
Because it is wild and imperfect.
It is.
And probably, well, often better than we could have hoped for. You know, like in situations that you try and control and then something magic happens or
absolutely.
You met someone neat or who knows. Or you got that magic parking spot.
Yes, exactly. And we need to loosen the grip on the fact that we think it's supposed to go a certain way.
Because
you might surprise yourself if it goes a different way.
Yeah. So last thought, what's lighting you up today? Like, what's got you excited or what's What's thrilling you?
Well, I have to say, having conversations like this, are so joyful, and I really appreciate them because I get to share a bit more about the behind the scenes, you know,
absolutely,
of this labor of love. And I'm reminded of why I did it too. So it's as much as it's like a concrete real thing now, I'm like, oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Right. Because like, a 3-year process.
Yeah. You kind of forget, and it goes through so many phases and everything. So that's one thing. And then I have to say too, that actually lately I've taken things off of my calendar.
Nice.
Like I used to do coaching or create the programs, mm-hmm, like the one you were in. And I've taken a break from that. It's not to say it's never coming back. I've just really been coming back to patients, sitting with, okay, what's next? Whether it's more writing, more of these conversations, maybe starting a radio show myself,
yes,
and possibly something else in the world of coaching. But right now I focus on teaching classes at the Well, running that with Valerie. I'm loving that community there. So I'm just like, what's exciting me is this simplifying actually at the moment of less
That's
is more.
The height of design.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much, Jamie. You are a star and a light in our sky. And thank you for shining so brightly so we can turn up for ourselves.
Oh, thank you, Holly.
Thank you.
I'm so grateful for you.
I'm grateful for you.
What a gal, what a teacher, and what an insightful book. So if you have not checked it out yet and would like to learn more, head to Brome Lake Books February 7th, that's Saturday from 3 to 5, for the book signing event, where you can also purchase your copy yourself. And as well, you've got the Lakeview Hotel, a reading with Jamie Moore and a chat on Sunday, February 8th from 5 to 7. We look forward to possibly meeting you there, and we wish Jamie so much success with this book and any future initiatives that just seem to turn to gold. Thank you for tuning in to the Township's Daily News Bits through the Local Journalism Initiative, brought to you through funding from the Government of Canada. I'm Holly Bailey, wishing you an awesome day.